Now, in our Happy Home and Garden segment today, I want to share the story of a couple who turned their home into an urban farm and then built a business which helps others who want to do the same based on aquaponics. Daryl Bremer and Lucinda Fairhurst are the owners of Fair Farm. They use aquaponics as their chosen farming method, and not only are they producing fresh produce to sell into local health stores and shops and restaurants, they've also expanded into supplying aquaponics equipment and education. And I'm delighted to have Lucinda Fairhurst with us on the line to talk about their story, to tell us more about why aquaponics is such an efficient farming method, and to talk about the bigger picture here, because there's a very particular reason why they got involved in this project. Lucinda, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the show.
Hello, Pippa. Thanks so much for having us, and thanks for the opportunity to be able to talk about our dabblings.
Your passion, call it what it is. I can see that from the email correspondence. Lucinda, yeah. I mean, it's a fascinating story because you and Daryl weren't farmers to begin with. Won't you tell us a little bit about your life before Fair Farm?
Yeah, sure. No problem. Well, I'm actually a marine biologist by qualification. And over the past 20 odd years, I've been working as a consultant in the environmental and developmental sector, mm-hmm. Mostly focused in the urban environment, looking at climate change and various sustainability issues. And then after the birth of our son, I started looking more locally at how I can help. So working with Western Cape-based NGOs on urban agriculture, child abuse and trauma, gender-based violence, etc. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, during the lockdown last year, many of these NGOs that I was working with and funders changed their short-term strategies. And that kind of ended up in my engagements coming to an abrupt end.
Yeah.
And just before that, Pippa, my father was also diagnosed with cancer at the beginning of last year.
Sure.
And unfortunately, he passed away during the hard lockdown.
I'm so sorry.
And it's kind of ended up a little bit bittersweet because we've been able to use the little bit of money that he'd left to enable us to move on to the next step. And it's really sort of an opportunity to be able to marry technology with environmental sustainability. And I suppose if you consider the massive problem that we have globally and particularly here in food security, you know, we've got more and more people and conventional farmlands are overworked, revitalizing the lands, using chemicals to maximize profitability. We add pesticides and other chemicals to our crops. Mm. And yeah, that's inevitably not good for us at all on the fundamental aspect. Some of these pesticides you can wash off on the outside, but many of them, and unknown to us until fairly recently in research, are in fact systemic, and that gets passed on to us.
Yeah.
So my husband and I were talking about looking for a more sustainable alternative, and we decided to go the route of aquaponics as opposed to hydroponics. I know your next question.
You're going to have to explain, please, what the difference is between the two, because I think I've already possibly used them interchangeably without realizing they weren't the same thing. Lucinda, please explain.
Yeah, so, well, they both use water as a medium to grow the plants, and it can be flowers or vegetable produce, whatever it is that you're deciding. But in the hydroponic system, it's normally using chemically formulated nutrients to feed those plants and allow them to grow. And although it's touted as being a water-saving mechanism, it's actually not, because over time, those systems end up building up salt, and so you have to dump the water.
Mm-hmm.
But in aquaponics, you aren't using any chemicals. It's essentially the fish that create the nutrient as the source for the plants, and the plants themselves are their natural filters. So in an aquaponic system, you're essentially using biomimicry to, mimic a riverine system.
Oh.
And the I suppose the upfront cost is probably what makes people turn away, and you might need a little bit larger space because you've got to have somewhere to rear your fish because you're nurturing both the fish and the plants. But fish food is generally cheaper than the chemicals, which are becoming more and more and more expensive as our minerals are becoming further depleted. And the aquaponics can also bring you higher yields than the hydroponics, and larger, in fact. And the main thing is the water. Mm. You don't ever throw away the water. Your water becomes gold, and the more mature your system gets, the better your crops get.
Wow. So as you say, an upfront investment that pays down the line and escalates down the line. Obviously no pesticides and chemicals involved here, a very high yield with a very low footprint. And the idea being, Lucinda, that you're able to set up these systems close to where the produce is needed so that the carbon footprint is kept low in that respect as well.
Yes, yes, Pippa. So as part of our introduction, you made a mention that we've turned our house into an aquaponics farm. And I think from our perspective, we've got quite a few sort of targets that we'd like to hit. But bringing it back home is what we originally thought about. So we've got three different sized systems, mm-hmm. from a very small system at the front that's visible from the road, and anybody can come and make an appointment for a tour around the systems. And then we've got a slightly larger system at the back, so the front one could comfortably feed a family of four, possibly five, and then a larger system at the back that could feed probably 10 or 11 people in a month. And then right at the back, we've got a small commercial system that can either be used for supplying food to a restaurant or indeed a commercial sale, as we're starting to do. So we make sales to local health food stores and shops and directly to the public. And our next project, which we're looking at now, and we're engaging with a primary school up the West Coast. I won't name them now because I don't want to jinx it.
Okay. I'm going to pause you there, Lucinda. Sorry. Before we talk about the school, can I just ask a couple more questions about your home setup?
Sure.
And then I really want to talk about what's happening at the school because that's very, very exciting indeed. So you say you've turned your house into an aquaponics farm. How big is your house, Lucinda? And are you in a normal urban area if somebody was
area in Tableview. Anybody can pop by. We're at 24 Lark Crescent. Just by the Tableview High School. We have a normal sized plot. So we've got three different systems. The systems all have got sort of the fundamental components, which is obviously fish tanks. Then we have, and they provide the food source.
Yeah.
Then we've got media beds, which are essentially the lungs of the system. So the more you want to grow, the more media beds you would need. And then we've got the deep water culture that's mainly for growing leafy greens. And then we've got bucket systems where you can grow the fruiting plants or plants that, you know, you harvest from gooseberries, tomatoes, cucumbers, jalapenos. And then you've got towers, which are a plug-and-play component that you can even give like a whole wall of greenery to a restaurant and run that on a small system of their own.
Amazing.
So in the front of our house, we've got a very, very small system that can fit in the whole size there is probably about 2 meters and 3.5 meters wide. And then we've got a longer system up the back that's 7 meters long and 2 meters wide. And then we've got a bigger one that's 4 meters wide and 7 meters long at the back.
So in a space as small as 2 by 3.5 meters, you can grow enough fresh produce, you said, to feed a family of four for a month?
Yes, yes, every month. It doesn't stop. Your system doesn't ever stop. It works like a conveyor belt system.
Mm-hmm.
So you never want to leave any patch of it dead. I mean, that would just be pointless.
Yeah.
So as you take a plant out, you can put another seedling in and watch it grow. We've really turned our whole It's been a wonderful road to walk down after the passing of my father, but to engage with our local community. You know, we have had our neighbors, what are you doing now? And which bit are you building now? And, oh my goodness, this looks great. And it's really been fantastic. And we've got three boys that are all different ages. So our youngest is 4.5. Then we've got an 11-year-old and an almost 16-year-old. He'll be 16 next month. And, they've all gotten involved in the different aspects. As you can imagine, the 4.5-year-old is far more interested in getting grubby with the worms because we've got a worm farm. And then we've got our 11-year-old who just likes the water going sploosh all over the place. And the 16-year-old who's more interested in how the water is working and looking at the biochemistry aspect of it. We have developed three different structures. They're all in line with our own home because we didn't want them to look terrible.
Yeah.
The idea is you want something that looks nice as well as produces. And so each of the structures take on a slightly different form, but it's just so that people, when they come round, you know, they can say, oh, yeah, I like that structure, but I'd like it in that size or this color or, you know, so we can mix and match. And that's really what we're trying to do, is to convert one heart at a time, one household at a time. And by doing that, hopefully saving more of the environment than I've managed to do in the past by writing policies and strategies at the governmental level. We're sort of focusing really on the ground.
Just for those who might have joined us late to the conversation, you're listening to Lucinda Fairhurst, who, along with her partner Daryl Bremer, has turned their home in Tableview into an urban aquaponics farm. There are a couple of listener questions coming in I'll put to you, Lucinda, before we talk about the project with the school. Firstly, Johan in Wellington asking, how do you deal with insects and pests, given that there are no chemicals or pesticides involved? How do you approach Do you have a problem with that?
So that's a really good question. We have zappers that are outside of the system and they attract the bugs. Otherwise, you do it manually. We've reverted back to using an old beer can. Obviously, that didn't work during the lockdown, but you can break a beer can, any standard beer, in half, stick it in the middle of your system, and the slugs quite like the beer.
Yes.
And there are different methodologies for different types of pests. So you want things like spiders and geckos and other bugs and live wildlife in your system, but you don't want, unfortunately, the beautiful things like butterflies and moths, because they create caterpillars that end up
decimating
your crop.
Yeah.
But with that as well, the whole point of the systems that we've done, and I'm sure many people that have looked into hydroponics or aquaponics, they've probably found, you know, images on the internet where you can just see these rows and rows of exactly the same type of crop. We try to avoid that by ensuring that the whole system is as biodiverse as possible. Mm-hmm. So if you get a buildup of one particular nasty bug, it's not going to decimate all of your crop. It'll only be that one type, and you can deal with that in that way.
Okay. Interesting point M. Lobsher making on the WhatsApp, saying if all the nutrients are coming from the fish feed, is that not a problem if there is junk inside the fish feed? Are you very particular about what you're feeding those fish, Lucinda?
Yes, we are. So we are also affiliates of a larger organization that's been around for 13 years now. And so we only get our fish feed from them. They're called Practical Aquaponics, if anybody would like to look them up.
Okay.
I'm sure Martin will be quite pleased to have a
a call or two.
And we also need to try and make sure that, you know, we're providing the right amount of nutrients and the right type of nutrients to the plants.
Okay. Lucinda, so out of your own experiment and growing of produce, which you've mentioned restaurants and shops, etc., are now starting to buy from you, the side business has emerged of obviously helping others set up their systems and offering design of systems and sale of the parts and components and helping people manage getting them started up, etc. Your intention was always to see this concept replicated and used at a community level to have a direct impact on food security, which then brings us to the conversation about the school along the West Coast. Tell us what you are hoping to pull off there.
So, it's just so super exciting, Pippa. I can't even begin to tell you. There's a piece of land that is currently owned by the school and is a bit of a wasteland at the moment, but it's in the heart of one of the West Coast towns or villages. And we've been in discussions with the headmistress there, and she's taken the idea. Obviously, I gave her a tour around the aquaponic systems that are local to her and us, and just basically said, well, we would like to come and initiate a public-private partnership where we will bring the infrastructure and the knowledge and set up a larger structure than we're able to do at home, and provide food to their kitchen, which reduces the school's carbon footprint. They feed all their kids in the afternoon. And then also we're in discussions with a local church to take the produce that isn't utilized for cooking and providing soups, especially now as we're coming in towards winter, to provide for those that are less fortunate than us. And in my background with climate change and environmental sustainability, I've always wanted to try and encourage youngsters to really appreciate that we are part of the environment. We're not separate to it. And so we're developing with the primary school little courses where we can take the pre-primary school students through and educate them about, you know, basic agricultural aspects, and then moving up in complexity to the chemistry and physics that is in an aquaponic system, and possibly even leading them into being their own entrepreneurs. Mm. I mean, anybody can do it. If you just learn the very basics, and we're here to help you. We are open to collaboration with anybody who wants any collaboration. We're also grouped in with other aquaponics farmers. Most of them are commercial, but the urban local home growers are starting to pick up, and that's really what we want to encourage. You can look us up on our website. We're fairfarmaquaponics.com. It's still being worked on, but it's got the basics there. Or you could call me directly on 073-511-717. And, any questions you've got, we'll try to help or help you get set up, etc.
Listen to somebody commenting on our SMS line about the job creation potential here, that if you can help communities set up their own farm, with that comes the potential to turn the produce into, jams and pickles and things like that to sell in a shop, which provides job creation for somebody to work in the shop, etc. It really has the potential to be a small business that sticks its tendrils deep into a community. I think that was part of the original vision, wasn't it?
Yes, sorry. So I did neglect to talk about that. In the discussion that we're having with the school, we've also requested that part or the front part of the farm be open, in the sense that we'll be putting a small farm stall there, encouraging, your local bakers, candlestick makers, nuts, pickles, all of that to be sold to increase the variety coming from the shop, and also enabling them to earn an income from whatever it is that they're making at home. So if anybody is in the West Coast and is looking for somewhere to sell their product, please get in touch with us. And food beneficiation is an aspect that we're trying to look into. So we're still looking at how we can ensure that we meet the various food and health standards that are there.
Okay. Listen to two important things we haven't discussed. Okay, the one is the very important one of the cost. You said up front that it can be a costly investment. What's the sort of minimum outlay somebody would have to be prepared to spend to start with a small system?
So the small one that's at the front, I don't think I gave you the specifications, but that comes with 20 buckets. In each of those, you could grow a big rooty plant like tomatoes or cucumbers, and then you get a media bed and a 1.2 meter deep water culture for your green lettuces and a fish tank and a sump, and you could set yourself up with that for about 20,000 rand. But bearing in mind, you know, if you just think as a family, you're probably spending at present 1,000 rand, if not more, every month on your green veggies that you get from a grocer. So it's less than 2 years and you've made your money back. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to carry on paying for those things. You can plant them themselves. You can squish your own tomato and put the seed from your own tomato back into your media bed and just watch it carry on.
The other thing that somebody's asked me, which I should have asked, is tell us more about the fish, please. Lucinda, Mike asking, are there live fish in this aquaponic system? They certainly are alive, not dead.
They have to
what
be
kind
alive.
Of what kind of fish are they, Lucinda? Tell us more.
We're using tilapia niloticas. They're quite hardy fish, freshwater riverine fish. And the reason that we're using them is because they don't do too well in a cold environment. So not that I'm near a river or anything, but if anybody does set up a system that's near a river and an accident happens and the fish makes its way into a local river, the first winter that comes, they won't survive. So we're not encouraging growth of fish species that can outcompete our own. So there's the two most popular are tilapia niloticus and tilapia mozambicus. They're sort of river bream, if you like. And then many people are using koi fish or catfish. One of our colleagues is growing koi fish and successfully selling live koi fish to the koi fish fraternity. Mm-hmm. So, freshwater fish.
Lucinda, it's been fascinating chatting to you today. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing so much of your knowledge with our audience,
so much,
and best wishes to you.
It. Thank you. Thanks so much. Watch this space. We'll keep you updated.
Please do. Lucinda Fairhurst of Fair Farm. So she, together with her partner Daryl Bremer, set up that business, converting their home in Tableview into an urban aquaponics farm. And if you want to read up more about what they do and take a look at photographs of the systems to get a sense of the scale involved, etc., the website to visit is fairfarmaquaponics.com.